This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Welcome to Free Left Turn, a left-wing perspective here on Free FM 89.0, independent community media. Oh, to my right is Fred. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning.
And to in front of me is Mick.
And good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Mick.
Yeah. Okay, I'm glad to be indoors today. It's a bit breezy out there.
Yeah. You feel that?
Well, I was meant to be marching across the Harbour Bridge this morning.
Yeah, yeah.
I was all set for that, but they've cancelled the going across the bridge. They're still doing the march through Queen Street and CBD Auckland. But
I hope they get a good turnout.
Yeah, I think they will, regardless. But I say, certainly, you can understand the justification of the forecast was strong winds.
Mm-hmm.
Safety sort of thing.
Yeah. So I had to stand down, take my flag back out of the car. And Yeah, but it got quite a lot of publicity, the Palestine march and the cancellation.
Right. So was it covered on TV?
It was covered on all the major things. So, you know, in one way, we've had some publicity out of it.
Yeah, the strong wind here. I think Margaret brought up the issue that when it came on, it flashed across the screen.
Well, they were trying to do it, of course, because people had already planned to go and everything else. And there's groups from all around the country, and some still heading up there, of course, if they can. They're all already booked and already flowing up. But they are doing it. There'll be a big march in Auckland now as we speak. Yeah.
Because Margaret sort of brought up the story. We went up to my niece's wedding. Was probably about nearly 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And when we were coming, I think when we were coming back, there was a... And she was concerned about the wind coming through then. It was a strong windy day there.
Well, you hear occasionally they go, Auckland Harbour Bridge has been, the outside wings have been shut due to high winds, et cetera, and they just do the...
Because there's been episodes where trucks have been blown over on
the side. Yeah. And they do have that. They have first things get stopped, high van trucks, you know, grocery vans and also motorbikes. You know, you wouldn't want to get blown off a motorbike.
No. Even when you're heading north over from, I think it's Windy Ridge, isn't it? But I think you don't go over that nowadays because of the new road. But that used to be notorious for blowing things over.
Yeah. And Rimatucka's down in Wellington. There are Windy Ridges around. And as you say, there's probably a few places around New Zealand that have got the name Windy Ridge.
For a reason.
Not just flatulence, isn't it? Cape Foul Wind down on the west coast.
Not flatulence.
No, not
from flatulence.
Maybe.
That's a different type of foul wind.
Because you've scared yourself.
Okay. Right. So we move on to more sensible subjects.
The first thing I wrote down was Crude Stewart and the bid for New Zealand First.
What's he done?
Yeah, Stuart Nash.
Oh, of course. Yeah, he got himself in hot water.
He
made some derogatory comments.
Sexist remarks,
On the platform, and the platform is a, you know, very right-wing. What's his name?
It was on Sean Plunkett's show.
Sean Plunkett's
The platform,
it's very right.
And Nash was asked, definition of what a woman was.
Yeah.
And he came up with the two usual...
Which is pretty... He's a professional politician and everything else.
Yeah, you think he's mature?
Yeah, that's just...
Crude.
Yeah, it is crude.
That's what I call crude.
So he's lost his job and had to resign from various positions, which is fair enough. Yeah,
he shot himself in the foot.
Yeah.
Taxpayers Union was one of them.
That's like Trumpism. What do you think he's doing? Some sort of Trumpist type statement. Get away with it.
Well, he should go over there then if he wants to be like that.
Yeah, good. So he's given a reprimand.
Well, I say he lost his job. He's had to resign from his. Yeah, he had some jobs and...
And he resigned, yeah.
He resigned.
Because there was there was a New Zealand First conference down at Palmerston North last weekend, and that's where he showed that this is where it all started from.
Yeah, but he was Labour, right?
Yeah, he was Labour,
And then he left Parliament.
Yeah.
And what's his call to fame? He was a grandchild or great-grandchild of...
An adopted, I think, one of Walter Nash. There was reasons why he lost his job in Parliament, and I think was that he was, I think the word untrustworthy wouldn't
a person not of good character.
Yeah.
Well, was he really a Labourite, or was he just an opportunist using his name?
Like opportunism.
Yeah,
I don't know. So,
but on the face of it.
Yeah. I think what he had done was I think there were embargoed papers that he released to somebody.
A little bit of not understanding the propriety of things. Yeah.
Which I think was a little bit of a lie because he's probably been there for quite a bit of time there. Yeah.
Mm. I wonder if he's getting his parliamentary pension. Did he do nine years?
He was there for a while.
He was 12, I think.
Yeah, okay. Well, then if he put in for the pension scheme, was he in it?
I suspect he would be, wouldn't he? Yeah.
Was he in Parliament for that long?
I suspect he was. I think he was in opposition as well.
Not sure.
Well,
Something to find out. I'll look at. I'll write it down on my.
If the MP would be opposition, whatever. If you, I think it's 12.
What's his name? Not Walter Nash.
Yeah, Crude Stewart. No, Stuart Nash. Yeah.
Stuart Nash.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he'd probably be on a parliamentary pension.
Yeah.
Oh, before we leave, can we do something on Parliament?
It sort of ties
into this.
Yeah. Okay.
It ties into the fact that very good article. In the paper, Chris Knox, it was published in the Herald on the 7th, September the 11th. There was an MP called Carl Bates. He is an MP, a national MP. And just so happens, the headline was, MP put 25 properties and family trusts before facing financial declaration rules. Surprise, surprise. And anyway, they picked him up on it, and he's not doing anything illegal.
Of course not.
But they're hiding wealth. Is that, why are you hiding your wealth? You're wealthy, that's your thing.
You're lucky.
Yes, but to do that, it's
premeditated. It's premeditated.
But anyway, and so there's a very good...
So what's the outcome of this then?
Well, the outcome is basically some news articles, but there's a very good article by Bryce Edwards from the Integrity Institute on the same date, September the 11th. Recommend it. And Craig, if you want to know a bit more about it, it's on my Facebook page. I've picked it up. But anyway, just basically saying it's a mess, the whole... ambiguity? How do you
put it? Ambiguity.
Sorry, I didn't go to school for very long. there's a chance for people, there's actually submissions open on the review of standing orders. And you've got till the 25th of September. And it's, you go to the New Zealand Parliament website and you look for bills open for public submissions.
Right.
Yep.
And because what basically doing, they're saying and Bryce Edwards is saying, for an open parliament, etc., for an open justice political system, you need openness.
Transparency.
Not all, but many MPs, etc., are hiding their wealth, all behind all sorts of things.
And there needs to be people on both sides of the
this. Yeah, absolutely. And it's like Nicola Willis pretending that she would... with the tax cuts, would finally be able to take her kids to the movies. Mm. Yeah. She's got three properties and family trusts.
Yeah.
It's dirty. Sorry, it's just, don't... And I always remember, I can't remember if it was my mum or someone in the family always said, don't make out you're poor if you're not.
Mm.
Leave that manna for the poor, And it's sort of disgusting when I'm just an ordinary Kiwi and you know you're sitting on wealth.
Yeah, that's true.
That's wrong. It's wrong. And so, you know, people should look at it. But I say, at least it came out in a paper that there are things you can do about, a submission about. Yeah.
Yeah.
Why? Let's face it. What's the problem? Why can't he just say I'm in a family and we have 25 houses?
And what's the big deal?
What's the big deal? People don't like that, and they don't think it's a big enough issue. They won't vote for you. But why hide it? Why? And it's sort of it boils down to that they're sort of making out. They're hiding it because then it's like I'm just an ordinary Kiwi.
They want to present themselves as one of the people.
Yeah.
When it suits them.
And they're not.
So
just do it. And okay, some say, well, the argument is, in case they get in for, you know, get sued because something they've said or anything else. But okay, just don't say it if you know.
Yeah. And what area does he represent? Whanganui.
He's in Whanganui. First MP.
So the.
But he did it. The article was suggesting is say. Put these properties in a family trust facing the financial declaration rules.
So has he contravened sort of financial rules?
No, hasn't broken any rules. The questioning the morality of it.
Yeah, that's the issue. Ethics and morality.
We live in a
key having a blind trust. It's also, it's nothing to do with me. I don't know where my wealth is. BS. With times 10. Mm-hmm. Of course they do.
They know exactly where they are.
Of course they do.
They know their share portfolio.
David Seymour's another one. You know, they know they had some wealth somewhere and they know where it is. They know exactly where it is.
Of course they do.
And then they pretend that, it's nothing to do with me.
I'm just like you, ordinary person.
BS. Yeah.
That's the second one that's come up with the National Party over the New Plymouth MP and that donation.
And the farm wealth. And there's plenty of it. So there is a chance for people to review of standing orders. You can put submissions in.
Mm.
But just how to get them to say, okay.
So you can question proposed policies coming through? You can
obviously put in submissions that you don't like this declaration stuff and all that needs to be tightened up or be more open. I believe.
Right.
And just as an aside, one of the trustees was involved in this, Mr. Bates. Did I say Master Bates? Mr. Bates. Sorry. It's an old court joke.
I did. No, it's been around a lot longer than that.
Yeah, it has been a long time.
It did cross my mind, but I won't say anything.
Mr. Bates. Yeah. It's an unfortunate term, isn't it?
Yeah, school role.
Yeah.
Mr.
Well, it used to be called Master. So we won't go there.
That's the Captain Pugwash thing.
But one of the trust names was Seize the Day. Just a typical ideology of the Tories.
Seize the Day.
Okay. Okay, that's me on the... But I say, you know, nothing... Well, so there is something wrong with people having too much...
It's a moral question.
And they know there's something wrong when they're hiding it like that.
Yes. Of course they do.
Because if they thought, there's nothing wrong with that, there's lots of people like me.
Why would you bother hiding it?
Why would you hide in it?
Yeah.
Given that the seat is Whanganui.
Yeah.
I think there's quite a bit of a load. Load.
Go back, because we don't know about it, then when they're debating wealth taxes, i.e. on capital, on wealth,
interest,
etc., when they're debating things about rents and incomes and all that and giving the landlords discounts, and these guys are knowingly sitting on
wealth
and houses that are rented or far, you know. Let's face it, that's why it's important, and I agree with Bryce Edwards, that's why you need to have an open, you need to know how these guys are doing it. And if they were decent people, they'd say, well, I can't vote on that because I've got a conflict of interest.
You recuse yourself.
Yeah. And if you're a really decent human being, you say, well, I can't vote on that, but I'll accept what the people say. And if I have too much wealth,
if you're a decent,
I will pay some tax. The right amount of tax.
I wonder when he sold himself as wanting to be the MP for Whanganui, he said that. No.
Well, that's pretty interesting. We don't know.
Yeah, but that's interesting.
Did he get up in the box?
I think his actions have answered your question.
I worked hard for my money. Yeah, that's the standard one, you know. I worked hard for my money.
Yeah.
When mum and grandpa also had the wealth.
Was it from your father, Mr. Bates, while you were a master? No.
There we go, okay. Okay. Anyway, I've given him up. But he is a right, starts with W, needs an R. Never mind.
I think it's a bit descending there.
Well, he's a worker.
Yeah, you can say that.
Well, that's what he says. That's their belief. The belief is that they just worked hard for their money in their houses.
Oh, that's they just move money around. That's not very hard.
Yeah. But anyway.
Press a button.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. But don't be embarrassed about it. If you've got that, just say.
If you feel that embarrassed by wealth, why don't you just give it away?
Yeah.
Like some rich people do.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
There's a handful of them. Yeah, we know that.
There are people like that.
Well, a question I've got for both of you, have you received your voting papers yet?
Not yet, no.
No, but they're due out from the 9th, and I know a friend has got hers.
Yeah.
So they're coming out.
Yeah, we got had a work colleague, because he works Monday and Friday in between, but she got hers early on,
right.
And she's already voted.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm.
Good.
Yeah.
I see there's a few blocks. I don't know what we're allowed to talk about, but there's a few blocks of voting yes, and they vote for each other.
That leads to these.
That sort of thing.
I won't identify the people, and I won't, even by gender.
Yeah.
I received several of these leaflets.
And they're all saying vote for each other, aren't they?
And you have one candidate in the front, and then on the reverse, I also support these people in the same area.
Are they standing as a name, or without naming the name?
Yeah, I'm curious to just looking at them to say, they say for a better Hamilton or better for whom?
And the
one that's those throwaway lines, dynamic leadership, low rates.
Got another one here, no in-lane bus stops, cap rates rises, 2 hours free, common sense council. I mean,
how often we heard common sense council?
That's a throwaway line.
But anyway. Just I noticed that you've got the candidate in the front, and on the back they're endorsing four or five other people.
But they're not calling themselves a club.
But also appear on their own individual flyers.
Yeah.
But I looked at these people. Candidates, and it's kind of helped me streamline the process of eliminating who I don't want
I'm
to
always
vote
nervous
for.
Of clubs. Because you want
and
people...
And independent.
And would the same thing have happened in your neck of the woods?
With
a candidate endorsing other people in the area?
To be frank, I think we've only received one leaflet from one bod.
Wow.
And I hate to say it, but it could be where you live, they've gone, well, a lot of people rent probably in that street. They probably go, it's not worth putting out pamphlets in there.
They might like one of the candidates and they put, this person also thinks these other people. I might vote for these people as well.
Yeah.
Because you've got up to how many votes in the ballot paper? Is it 1 to 6 or 1 to 7?
Is it 7 or 1 or 6? We all know. It could be
that, you might like one candidate, and as I say, you look at the endorsement on the back of it, this person thinks these people are good as well. And you might vote for those people as well.
But where I live, Craig, and where Mick lives in the same part of the suburb in Hillcrest, I would say the percentage of homeowners is quite high. And I'm just thinking about you saying you've only had one thing in the mailbox.
Yeah.
We've had heaps.
Is
that to do with they think those people vote?
Demographics,
Sadly,
So when one of them says like cap rates rises and no in-lane bus stops and he endorses other people, that would say that's a red flag. For me,
that's made the process of
elimination quite easy.
It's made it easier.
You want councillors to work together.
Yeah,
we do.
But should you work or go in as a preset club, i.e., a political party?
Yeah.
Well, I think that's what they're trying to do.
It makes me nervous.
It's the impression I get.
So when they endorse these sorts of things, I always come back to the words of Nandor Tenshaw, and he was interested in how these people were going to achieve a particular goal around rates.
If you cut rates, how are you going to provide services?
So you want to cut rates or cap rates
lower rates? When they get the ballot paper, because I think it comes with a little booklet, doesn't it, with all the different candidates?
Yeah.
And you look at the wording, that should help you decide which way to vote, depending on the vocabulary chosen.
Mm.
Yeah. Especially someone who's been involved in the community for a length of time and, you know.
Those sorts of people.
Maybe that might persuade people to vote for that person as opposed to another person.
Yeah, but there's these throwaway lines.
There's meanness. I mean, there's another person here. He's got my vision for simple city includes clear and fair rules.
What does that mean?
What does that mean?
Mm. Exactly. Or functional roads and paths. Transparent planning. Okay, I go along with that. And making the bureaucracy less complicated, less expensive.
Yeah, but it's still a throwaway line.
It's still a throwaway line.
Yeah.
Responsible maintenance of core infrastructure. I mean, it's just recruiting and retaining competence.
Well, I don't think any of the councillors, I don't think any of them go in there and go, we'll just throw away money.
No, I don't think they think like that.
On either side.
Regardless.
But they use throwaway lines,
Fred. Yeah, because it's aimed at people who can't or won't try and...
Well, people get their rates bill and go and flip out.
Or these one-liners thrown to people that they know don't take the time out to keep up to date with what's going on.
Well, go back
and
to...
it's really complicated and, you
know... Yeah, go back. Please read the pre-election report by the CEO.
Yeah, that's what... Yeah, we...
And that has detail of growth, population issues, the whole lot, on a non-political basis.
But there'll be a lot of people who won't do that because think, whoa, it's too much.
But the good news is I talked to my source at the Hamilton Libraries and they do have hard copies of it at the libraries.
Right. Okay.
Apart from Hillcrest because it's boarded up.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
There are avenues for people to
Yeah, so you can go down to the local library and peruse it. Yeah.
Good on the council for providing it.
Yeah.
It's a very good, very... detailed document. Before you shut your mouths open, you wannabe councillors, I hope you've all read it.
Done your research.
I get the impression that
Speaking of candidates, and I think we're on that line, the Pukehini Neighbourhood House in this coming week will host two Meet the Candidate sessions.
Right, okay.
One is on, I believe it's on Tuesday, that's according to my manager. And that's Tuesday night, but we also are going to have one Friday during around about midday.
Okay.
And there's, I think, if I understand my manager correctly, I think 23 candidates have voiced that they'll be there.
Oh, okay.
They've had a few of these meet the candidates.
Yeah, we haven't had one out our way. We usually have at least two. And we have prepared questions. Questions we've invited members of the community to send in questions that they want asked for these people. I've also asked a question of my manager, and it's around that pre-election report. Have they read it?
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
And I think that needs to be asked.
Yeah.
I think the two important questions for me revolve around that, and they revolve around rates.
Segue to rates. I mean, I was reading a paper this week that the council have been inspired by Dunedin City that's revamped its George Street. It's the main street in Dunedin. I've never been down Dunedin. That's what they kept banging on about. And so this council want to revamp Victoria Street.
Let's just pay for things we've got on the go first.
At the time when they claim that they're struggling to provide services, and they had to put the rates up, and you want to revamp it from what to what? More shops.
Yeah.
It just strikes me as bizarre and irresponsible.
Is that you focus on the core things that need to be done.
Yeah, the basics.
And existing projects.
If you've
got the money, and all well and good.
But I do agree, local government, like governments, the big stuff has to be done, by the people.
It's the boring stuff, but it has to be done.
Yeah.
But services.
Infrastructure, and then do one big thing at a time and get it paid for. And
forward the next one.
Next one.
That's what they ought to do. But
we do rely on government and local government to do the big stuff. That's where the sports fields, the stadium, which people go to and get lots of pleasure out and all that. You could argue, and we should have the debates, are the private contractors and the private families paying enough for their rights to do these things and everything else, because don't forget, they all get it off their tax. Corporation that has a booth,
wants to go in the partnership with private developers.
So
It just seems irresponsible after spending a minute on the south end of town with the new arts centre and the refurbishment of the bus station and things like that, bus stops.
Yeah.
But, okay, we do need it, and we've got to be careful we don't go on the slippery slope of then that it almost plays into the hand of saying, oh, we're going to just cut services
well,
and
it does
all
play,
that.
It does play in the hand.
That's why, go back, being a socialist, we need efficient
But these people are playing on it.
Of course they are.
Yeah, but they will want to cut around essential services.
Yeah. Because they don't use the bus, so they won't want it.
Yeah, that's what this argument here.
Mm.
Where is that clown? No in-lane bus stops. Well, that tells you something.
Right.
Yeah, and he's he endorses these other clowns, so...
They're all entitled to do it. That's a democracy.
And
let's face it, the bottom line is we should be encouraged. Good on them for standing. They've got that right. And if they get voted in, that's how it is. What we really should be pushing for, 29.4% voted last time.
That is a problem.
Of people on the roll. So that's even less. So probably only, I would say, about 17-18% of people in Hamilton voted who are eligible.
That is the problem.
Last time.
Yeah. The funny thing, my colleague who did vote, she will remain nameless.
Mm-hmm.
She said she's a sort of person who hasn't voted at all.
Oh, okay.
Given her age. Between 30 and 50.
And never voted for in a council election.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
and I'll go back. It's important that even unfortunately the sell is it's about ratepayers. Just remind people, everyone who rents, etc., is paying the landlord's rates.
Yep, exactly.
So it's important that you vote as well.
You'll get back to the point where we should be regarded as citizens.
Yeah.
We the people.
We the people.
Yeah.
So we all pay for it.
I'm holding up for mine because I'm on the Maori roll, so I had to vote for the Maori candidates.
Okay.
But the other important part of the voting process is a referendum on Maori wards.
Yeah.
So
that'll be interesting how it goes because.
Careful! These guys are careful. They were never referred to.
No one's referred to it.
Yeah.
And it is a bit of a hot potato. But I say, I hope we're mature enough to go, we've had Māori Ward now for, 3 years, whatever.
Yeah.
And it's worked reasonably well. We've had a councillor had to resign. There's been issues around that, our personal issues. But at the end of the day, has council stopped and
the sky fallen in and all this stuff?
The sky fallen in. Yeah, the only thing that's fallen in is Three Waters, of course, is race-based. Yeah.
But there was a low turnout in the by-election last week. So I hope that's not a
and the Māori ward up at
the electorate.
Yeah.
Tamaki Makaurau. Yeah. So I'm hoping that's not a bad omen for that for the.
Well, didn't Te Pāri Māori? They really cleaned up.
Yeah, they did.
They did.
Yeah, I spoke about it. I found her quite undynamic. My view.
Well, I heard on my ears to the ground heard that there was still the push, which I understand it, that they go, well, look, Penny's already going to be an MP anyway. So that you'll get two Māoris for the price of one by voting from the party Māori candidate. So, they cleaned up, low turnout.
Yeah.
Which is disappointing.
Yeah, but my opinion of Penny Henare is that he's probably in that sort of kind of that war mongering type place.
He's quite liked, I think.
He's quite liked,
and they did you got to hand it to them, as candidates, they were both spoke highly of each other, which was sort of the Māori way. They're different parties, but there didn't seem to be a lot of dirt flying, if you know what
I mean. I know, but I just found their Māori, the winner quite undynamic. Yeah.
Hopefully she'll compensate for that by being a decent MP.
Well, that's all you want. Whoever is an MP or a councillor, you want them just to represent
the people
and
do the best.
Yeah, be prepared to compromise. Don't be a narcissist or an egghead if you can possibly help it.
Which a few of them since we're with Fred, what else have we got there?
I've got one more.
Yeah.
Sorry?
Okay, go on.
This is the irony or whatever, but New Zealand First, Shane Jones, which you know, disappointed on his comments about Palestine and anyone who supports it. But I'll put that to his side. He's actually recommended to his party that they need to think about renationalising of the power electricity market, which is quite interesting. And it's like, since its inception, the 1990s, the inception of market-driven suppliers, etc., there has been $9 billion paid out to shareholders and only $1.5 billion in new capacity. And go back to the UK and the privatisation of the water and all that. It just doesn't work. And the idea was, oh, we'll get competition, we'll do all this and this. All it means is we've had just profit-taking.
We're struggling to find the means to provide the power.
Yeah, well, our population's grown and there's been no...
And some businesses are going bust because they can't afford the...
Well, we've seen that in the timber mills and all, they couldn't afford the electricity.
So this is the problem worldwide.
Lack of investment. You do need governments
to keep up, updating,
to do the social services and to do the big stuff, you know.
Which is ongoing.
But it's interesting that he came up with that.
He did say something about he wants to put more emphasis on coal too.
There's downsides of it.
Yeah, because that's going to sort of...
But the government still has majority stakes in Meridian, Genesis and Mercury. Contact Energy has is completely privately owned. Which means, what's the irony of it is high electricity prices, they pay these dividends out to the wealthy, probably Mr. Bates from down in Whanganui. His family might have some shares in those things.
He gets around, doesn't he?
He does that. So they get dividends from it, and they can afford the Powerball.
Yeah,
So the government's giving out back to the elderly and the poor the winter energy payment, which is good, but that ends in 3 weeks. But I say, it seems to be like we're paying Peter to, we grab it and then they give it back.
Peter to pay Paul.
But the people who are benefiting from it are the people who can afford the Powerballs.
The shareholders. Meridian. Mercury.
It has tapped into a crucial issue, that generating power. Because the demand on energy is astronomical. It's 24/7.
All businesses have power, air conditioning in the summer.
Home computers, all your appliances.
New Zealand's, although we can grow grass and we're very lucky, we do have a cool, awful, you know, our springs are awful.
The only thing I was disappointed about, they made no mention about alternative sources of
energy,
solar power or wind, or water turbine. No mention of that.
There's murmurs of an inquiry, suggestion of an inquiry, and this probably should be, because we actually should say, well, okay, here you've had the what I call neoliberal experiment of privatisation and all this. It's obviously failed for some. It hasn't failed for the wealthy.
It hasn't failed, yeah, but it's failed for the people. Yeah.
And so the irony is, the elderly wealthy can still get the power benefit. Yeah. can get the winter energy payment. Yeah, yeah. But they've benefited from it.
But when the word renationalisation was mentioned, there was squealing from the great defender of privatisation.
Some things are safe. So it was interesting. And probably will disappear again into the
ether.
But this is not going to go away, this energy problem.
It'll be exacerbated.
Well, we get warmer summers, so...
We have air conditioning, we have heat pumps. So demand for electricity is now 24/7 all year round now.
And
the infrastructure hasn't kept up.
And they have got technology.
And this is a serious problem for the economy, because some business, as you've mentioned,
some of the timber mills I can think of in the first hand.
Small private businesses have gone because they can't afford the energy costs.
Yeah, they talked about the one down Tasman. Yeah.
And you imagine the energy.
Serious impact.
I was just thinking at the courthouse where I used to work, the big air conditioning units, the power to drive them must be huge. I'd hate to think with the power. I don't think I saw a Powerball once. It was nearly as bad as Judge's Pay.
This is what they were.
That bad.
This is where people get high. This is where people, have the short memory stuff. Remember the blackouts of Auckland?
Yeah.
And that's to do with failing infrastructure.
And the demand placed on it.
Yeah.
And there's no investment.
Well, there's some, but it's piecemeal.
It hasn't kept up. There's no long-term...
No.
We've discussed it before. There's no long-term planning, no.
Yeah, so that's an interesting one. Okay, that's me.
That's a good one to raise, though, Fred.
Yeah. I'm sure that's going to come up again.
There was talk about the nationalisation.
Why not? Just because we've had privatisation and just because we've had rampant, rabid capitalism, why can't we start thinking about, hang on a minute, this hasn't worked. You've had your experiment.
There's too many invested interests.
Unfortunately, same people who have the 20 houses also have the shares, also have the influence.
So the first thing time you mentioned, they're going to lose money.
Yeah.
They want to protect their wealth.
It's
not going to go directly in their pocket. Protection of the wealth. Okay, Mick. Well, I've got one here. This was sort of rang alarm bells for me. This was in the Herald on Thursday. Government announces plans for new shoplifting offence. Guilty as assumed. The government proposal for new infringement of offence for shoplifting would mean the burden of proof would fall on the suspect to prove their innocence. This would create a tension with the right to be presumed innocent until proven guilty, protecting the New Zealand Bill of Rights Act. But Justice Minister Paul Goldsmith said it strikes the right balance between public safety and an individual's right. What a load of dingoes, kid. He's just released cabinet paper on the raft of changes to the Crimes Act, also reveals the evidence threshold for assaulting a first responder with intent to injure doesn't have to include any actual injury. This is like preventative police. This is preventative policing. The National Party has agreed to this. Proposals include a new strict liability offence for shoplifting with a $500 infringement fee, doubling to $1,000 if the value of the stolen goods is more than $500. It would be proven simply by evidence the person leaving the store with the goods, such as CCTV footage, with a reasonable excuse defence to mitigate against catching people who generally make a mistake, according to Goldsmith. Right, I don't believe that. This disengages the section of the New Zealand Bill of Rights about the right to be presumed innocent until proven guilty. Police also raise concerns, including practical implementation implications, evidentiary challenges, and the increased demand for a police response. A strict liability offence also increases the risk that misinterpreting the behaviour of deaf people or people with an intellectual or neuro disability could result in disproportionate impacts on this group of people, etc. And this rang alarm bells to me, because if you're going to do this for shoplifting, what's stopping you from doing it for other things?
Proving your innocence. Which some countries around the world do that. You know, they do the, you've got to prove you're innocent, not the other way around.
It rings alarm bells, though.
This is
pre-policing, or what do you call it? Preventative policing.
Yeah.
The burden of, was it, burden of guilt, was it? That phrase?
But I think the French,
Do you have to prove your innocence?
Innocence, yeah.
It's really bizarre, isn't it?
Yeah, but there's several countries that do that, you know. You've got to prove yourself.
It just rings alarm bells.
Yeah, this will tell me that that there'll be a targeted group.
Yep.
And it also feeds into that, we need more prison's narrative. Yeah.
We do have it for drugs, don't you, Mick? Yesterday, they do have it for drugs already, that if you're found with more than, I think it's 28 grams or 24 grams or something, you've got to prove that you're not a dealer sort of thing the other way around. So there are bits and pieces of it.
Yeah. Most police officers, like 28 grams is not personal. It's not
not a huge amount of...
No, it's not.
Personal use.
But behave is...
So it just rang alarm bells. I just thought,
What are the police association? They back it or not?
Well, they raised the queries about implementing these provisions. How it's going to actually be policed. How they get... I mean, last week we were talking about some of the standards of police officers was found wanting. So that could be a nest full of vipers.
Yeah.
A mixture of incompetence.
Well, and then you get prejudice come in. Prejudice, there's the Māori boy in the shop.
He must be up to no good. Yeah. We'll pull him over.
Yeah.
They've had this problem in the UK where predominantly non-Europeans get pulled over, stopped, searched.
Yeah.
On the assumption they must be up to no good.
Yeah.
Just because they're standing there.
Yeah, so it does just ring alarm bells for me.
Yeah. It sounds like targeted.
I mean, I know businesses are having problems with shoplifting. It's been cited before that. No.
All right. Now I've got one, and it's on shoplifting.
Yeah.
Right. So that's bad. But what do we call someone who has a business, and they take a pot of paint that they've claimed off their tax for the farm or for the whatever, and that pot of paint ends up painting the beach house.
Mm.
What's that? and that happens a lot. You know, they go on, and then Benny gets grabbed for dealing $12 worth of something.
Of course,
who's
going to benefit from this scenario? It's going to be the lawyers.
Yeah.
You mentioned they'll have a field day. Yeah.
And I might caught my eyes. Seymour wants, this is in Thursday's Times, Seymour wants health savings accounts. ACT leader David Seymour has proposed a major overhaul on how the country funds health care. And he's advocating, he was speaking at a conference at the Financial Services Council in Auckland, that was on Wednesday, called for New Zealand to emulate Singapore with compulsory health savings accounts, HSA, for everyone. This model requires people to save into health saving accounts to fund their health care with the money coming from tax cuts. That's okay if you've got a substantial tax cut. You might just... If you're getting like $5 a week, that ain't going to work, is it?
Well, and also, let's face it, go back to inequality, go back to poverty and wealth.
Yeah.
Wealthy people don't get sick as often as... Poor people.
He's suggesting a radical overhaul of the tax system, proposing to make the first $60,000 of income tax free.
Yeah.
That would mean a $10,000 tax cut for everyone on that bracket, and the money would be directed into a compulsory savings accounts for health and pensions.
So what happens to, the poor who can only pay
$500? I've paid my taxes all through my working life, and now I've got to fork out.
Yeah, but there are. It's trying to minimise government, isn't it?
Yeah.
User pays.
Yes.
It's
a sneaky way.
So what happens to the poor once they've exhausted their $500 in the bank, which is about a day's stay in the hospital?
And they exhaust their allowance real quickly because of associated health problems and they're complicated.
Yeah.
That's less tax.
The state picks it up again. So why do it? Why do it?
This is there's less tax being paid.
Or they rot and die.
Well.
That's the real
danger. Well, that's the real danger.
Or it's a lottery. You're reliant on...
Well, it's a lottery now.
Yeah, but it's not as big a lottery as some of the countries who don't have a state health system.
Well, we're lucky that we live in Hamilton. We've got reasonable access to healthcare, but there's parts of the country where people would wait a long time to get access to...
So it's an ACT policy.
Mm.
It says here, quote... The idea, which is not government policy but an ACT policy suggestion, is not a new one. Earlier this year, former ACT leader and crook Sir Roger Douglas published...
I don't know he's a crook.
I'm just being smart. A paper with Professor Robert McCulloch of the University of Auckland's Waipapa Taumata Rail called How to Save the Welfare State from a Taxation to a savings-based model.
Yeah.
Would that mean less for your welfare?
Well, they want everyone to pay for themselves.
So it's a backdoor way of privatising health.
Yeah.
And it does, of course, unless...
And of course the same people are going to get affected more than the most. The same group of people.
Oh, of course. Yeah, they're going to lose out of it. And do we really want to go down to Latin America, to America?
Or America?
Wealthy have... You've either got a good job that has healthcare... or whatever, and benefits, or you're out in the street.
Yeah.
Menial job and nothing.
And you say someone gets sick, you're either bankrupted or they die.
That's what happens. That's what they talk about, bankruptcies over there. Yeah. Huge.
Yeah. Just on that, mm-hmm. What's this? Someone told me that Mr Seymour, was asking for a minute silence in Parliament. Did you read that in the paper, Craig?
I heard about that through... it was Facebook posting, I think, yeah. But he wanted a minute silence for...
Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk, the right-wing redneck,
He was a social influencer. Who was on the right?
Who was shot dead?
He was shot dead. But I thought, this is in America, and you're wanting to have a minute silence for that person. What about everyone else that's killed in America? What about all the Gazan children that are killed? What about the minute silence for each of them? Parliament would never sit, you know?
Did they have a minute silence for the people who got killed in Christchurch?
Yeah, they did.
But there's been other instances. We don't call out for a minute silence.
Yeah. But not for this person, no.
But the irony is, of this, we're talking on Charlie Kirk, this social influencer, from the, what would you call it? I can see why ACT wanted a thing. He was very much a look after yourself.
I imagine Charlie Kirk and Mr. Seymour have
shared ideas. But isn't the irony is that Charlie Kirk was always going on about the right to bear arms and guns and
prepared to say that it was worth having a few gun incidents and people getting killed to keep the Second Amendment.
Yeah, so
he was quite prepared to sell people down the line. Yeah. Mm. He was quite happy for that.
So that bit him on the bottom.
Well, it came back to bite him, didn't it?
Literally.
The neck. Yeah. But it's still awful. He opened his mouth about stuff. Mm. There's children in Gaza who don't know. That can't even speak yet and are killed.
Yeah. Mm.
You know, in the end of the day, this guy was potty mouthing lots of things, lots of issues. He was making enemies. And that doesn't mean you should get killed for it.
No.
But there's people that are killed and murdered for just being their ethnicity.
Yeah.
In the wrong place at the wrong time.
It's touched the nerve for somebody because that somebody has shot him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that'll come out. And America, of course, is now. It's major news, so that nothing else makes the airwaves at present.
Even in
the West, like that's
in the paper. It was a full page about Charlie Kirk, and then in an international section, it was Charlie Kirk.
Yeah,
how much coverage does this guy need?
Yeah,
he's not important to us.
No,
as a country.
No, and okay, I say he did push neoliberal thinking. He did push anti-gay stuff. He did push
racist stuff.
Pro-Israel stuff. Yeah. He did push racist stuff. And that's his business. But he upset a few people.
So you could quite easily say that the shooter or assassin may not have, probably is not from the left.
Well, we don't know.
But it sounds like it, though. It sounds like that.
Well, that's how it's been milked.
Yeah.
Well, it says this is a result of the radical left, blah, 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 blah.
There's so much
misinformation.
But they're saying that he had some bullets. They found the gun and the bullets, and some of the bullets were inscribed with "take this fascist." Mm. You know, so he was anti-fascist by the sounds of it.
Yeah, but you can be anti-fascist, but you can't be from the right.
Oh, of course you can. But obviously he just said something that this guy didn't like, and he had the ability and the skills. We know already that he was brought up in a gun-toting family.
Yeah.
Ironic, really, isn't it?
Yeah, it's ironic, isn't it? Yeah. So, Charlie Kirk, you know, rest in peace. But
reap
what you sow.
We didn't call for a minute silent when was it the senator and his wife got attacked in America?
Legislator.
What they're saying, that, you know.
There was no call for a minute silent then, was it?
Well, I think there was, but
was it?
The Republicans didn't.
No, I mean, over here.
Yeah, no.
We didn't call for a minute silent.
Which we should, we should be sad about it.
The politician.
For any death. Yeah.
But the gunman and that was a right wing nut job.
Yeah, and it's been proven. Most of the shooters in America tend to be white.
Right.
Funny, strange. If you believe the papers, they've all got to be Muslim and terrorists. You know, they've got to be brown and terrorists, and it's not quite like that. Some, but there's not.
No.
No. Yeah.
So there's been nobody who's shot about a Republican meeting, convention. Nobody's shot one.
It just shows you gun control.
Yeah, out of control. Out of control.
Well, it's out of control, isn't it?
And I also think in America, and even here, the danger is freedom. You know, how much. Sometimes we've got to be free, but it starts in pinging on others.
Yeah,
that's what I mean. It's really messy. How do you define free or freedom?
Well, and America's into this free, 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 and it creates all sorts of things.
But not for everyone.
Yeah.
No. And when is my right to be walked down there if I say, well, I've got the right to thwart you in my way, I push you out of the way.
Yeah, you take away some. You take away somebody else's liberties.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and that's the danger of it. They've got all warped about it.
They've forgotten half the equation that I have rights, but you also have responsibilities.
Yeah,
yeah, rights and responsibilities. Yeah, yeah. Those are quite
important. The two go together.
And unfortunately, America's been full of this. And their self belief in this freedom.
And it's creeping in over here, everywhere.
Oh, of course it is.
Yeah,
it's full of rights.
My right, blah blah blah.
What's here in Melbourne?
And it doesn't matter about your rights being infringed, it's about my rights.
Well, Melbourne today, you know, they had Australia, you know, a right wing Australia protest last week or the week before. There's another one today, and there's the left wing in Melbourne. So they're expecting tense times. Yeah. Mm. And of course, the police have to try and keep everyone apart.
Yeah.
But it social media, the whole, that all has exasperated people like Charlie Kirk. That's where they've made their wealth from.
Controversy makes money for someone, so we
live in dangerous times.
I'm glad you raised the sort of mentioned the talks about rights and responsibilities. Important words, because we use that, those are the wordings that we use when we become an agent for somebody.
Rights and responsibilities.
Mm. It's not rights and then nothing else.
No.
It's always like you get in the bus. Behind the bus driver is a wall where the bus driver, and there's a wall, and it talks about rights and responsibilities. Yeah. You have the right to use this bus, blah, 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 but you're also responsible for not doing blah, blah,
Please
blah,
take
blah.
Yeah.
So, missing from the Charlie Kirk equation is responsibilities.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he opened his gob, he shot up his mouth,
yeah.
and somebody shot him in return.
Mm. Mm.
Because it was their right, but there was no responsibility.
Yeah.
No, but I say, America, what a mess it is. Just a mess. You know, and I say it's the most powerful country in the world, and we don't have any leadership. Let's face it, where's the leadership in the world? The world's quite a mess. There's so much going on.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, maybe I was just dreaming, but you'd like to think there'd be leaders in the West who would say, we need to calm the farm. But here's Trump saying we need to sort out the lefties. Here's Starmer shaking hands with President Herzog, who was signing artillery shells to kill people in Gaza.
Yeah.
You know, where's the sensibleness that's actually coming from guys like President Xi, Lula, people like that, but the West doesn't want to go there?
No, they don't.
No.
Is that racism or supremacy?
Why? I think it may be the latter more than anything.
And it's orchestrated by vested interests.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. You know, so
political and the military industrial complex. Yes,
we're bereft, and even in New Zealand, we're bereft of, you know, our Luxon. Where's this leadership to say, well, actually, this is not okay, Israel? You can't just go and send and kill people. You shouldn't be killing anyone, but you've just done the latest incident where they've killed people discussing a peace deal, whether to accept it or not,
they were discussing the US proposal.
And that happened with Iran as well. And where's our leadership here and around the world saying, no, that's not acceptable?
Yeah.
But there should have been instant condemnation of that.
Yeah.
It's easy to see why Mr. Luxon is minus in terms of popularity. He's actually in minus.
Well, I think the world's looking...
Minus 13.
We're looking out for people who have...
It's all about avoiding dealing with the issue and finding someone else to blame.
Yeah. That's why I say I've got hope in this Zach Paletsky in the Greens in the UK. And so a lot of... he is young enough. I really rate Jeremy Corbyn and I've got a lot of respect for him. But he's at the end of his political life.
Yeah.
And he's getting old. You can tell that. But principle, yep. Ethical, yep. All that. This Zach Paletsky's got youth on his side. He's a Jewish man, so he's not afraid to get caught up in the anti-Semitism thing and everything else.
Because we do need another generation.
We do, absolutely. And I think hopefully over there the Greens and the still call it the Your Party, will when it comes to election time, they'll start going, okay, well, you've got a better chance of winning that electorate.
They're going to have to do something.
And it's not completely true good democracy, but...
The alternative is you don't get anywhere.
you don't get anywhere, especially in the first past the post.
I mean, it's absolute cluster in the UK. It's just unbelievable.
And they've got accused Zach of saying, well, you're going to split the vote and allow reform in, et cetera. And he said, well, that's actually not me. That's our political system.
Yeah, that's our voting system.
Yeah, that's on people for not having proportional representation.
That's the fireback line.
Yeah. Lots of people in England don't approve of proportionate vote. They say, it won't work. So, well, what do you mean it won't work? And they automatically go, look at Italy, says, I know, Italy's had more elections than anyone else since World War II.
Yeah.
But look at Germany, look at us.
Look at us, ours works, we moan about it and everything, it still works.
The loony fringe will get, even if they do get a seat, they're not going to be able to form a coalition with another party. So
And shouldn't that be a warning sign? If you start getting what you call loony or completely sort of off the tour and they're getting 5% of the vote. Mm. Shouldn't that be a warning sign to society saying something's out of whack here?
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's saying to me that, and you've said it though, Mick, that they always infer about the Italian experience. Yeah. However, what about the fact that first past the post is where it's the failure lies?
But people don't see it. They just refuse to see.
Because the political one of
under 50% vote in America, if you know.
Yeah,
first past the post.
No, they wonder why 18 to 35 year olds in the UK would prefer some form of authoritarian government.
Yeah.
Because they're disillusioned with the other lot. And that's when I say you've got to be careful what you wish for. There's no such thing as a benign dictatorship.
No.
It's unbelievable. I'm just really glad I don't live in the UK anymore.
First past the post is proven to be a failure.
It is.
Yeah.
Well, and I just thought they'd get away with it. And now we know that, polarisation, there's far more news outlets. Mm-hmm. They used to be able, the first past the post used to work when there was just TV1 TV news.
And you had the newspapers.
And that was it.
Yeah.
All controlled by the same people.
But now you've got...
It's everywhere.
24/7.
Yeah.
And you've got influencers all...
So-called.
People on metaphorical soapbox spouting hate and division.
Never listen to those sorts of people.
No, but they get
an awful lot of airtime.
Because
there's money in it. Oh, controversial, we're making money.
Yeah, people are easily brainwashed.
On all sides.
I agree with that. So what else have you got? I've got a couple of minutes here.
Oh, well, does the government still thinking about the methane target?
Okay.
The government has not yet made the decision on whether to lower methane emissions, is according to New Zealand First, Winston Peters. New Zealand has a legislated pledge to cut emissions by 24% to 47% of 2017 levels by 2050, set by the last government when it passed the Zero Carbon Act. So they're still thinking about it.
Yeah.
Seymour says New Zealand should band together with other countries vulnerable to high methane price to campaign against one.
So is it just me, or is it just that Seymour seems to be running the government?
He's so-called acting Prime Minister. Our so-called...
He's just advocating business as usual. We don't know him.
Where's the Prime Minister? Is he on a junket?
He was on that Pacific Forum.
Oh, okay.
Honiara.
Shaking hands with...
Yeah, where they didn't invite members, other people who also border onto the...
Seymour had his way, he'd claw back all those things that other governments have put into place to...
Yeah.
But it's just interesting, the connection between Seymour and Charlie Kirk type, the political commonness.
Ideology.
Yeah, dangerous.
Yeah, well, don't be careful what you wish for, Mr. Seymour.
Yeah.
Because you know what happened to Charlie Kirk.
Well, the bottom line is you create hate.
You could get someone who might
actually pop you.
We've had it in New Zealand. New Zealand's no innocent. Look at the hate from Christchurch.
Yeah, that still remains.
Yeah. Still there. The racism still.
And there are people who are standing in these local body elections who ferment that.
Yeah.
Including one who's standing, I think, for the Mara Award here.
They're basically trying to exploit it for their own gains.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. We don't need these sort of people here. Okay. Right. So, we're out of here, and you'll find a Free Left Turn either on Free FM 89.0 or just check us out podcast at Free Left Turn and Podcast.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.